produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Whatever you have the Bible on, Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. Beginning at verse 9, and we're going to read down to verse 12. Really, verse 11, excuse me. I'll go to verse 11. I don't need to go to verse 12. Well, really, no, let's go to verse 12, too. That's fine. We'll go down to verse 12. And that's going to be our pericope on this morning. And from the New International Version, it reads like this. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. Just for a little while, I want to tag this text. As I posted on Facebook earlier, it's not nice to stare. It's not nice to stare. Growing up, that was a phrase that all of us grew up, especially in an African American or, excuse me, a black household, we have all heard as children, because we've all been somewhere and we've seen something as children that has really caught our eye, especially when it's something or someone, more importantly, it'll probably be someone who has something on their head, something on their face, or the way that they look, and it causes us to really stare at the person. And if you had a mama or a daddy like I did, they would tell you, boy, stop staring at them. It's not nice to stare at people. Not nice just to just look at somebody's face. It's not nice to just watch their conversation. It's not nice to watch who they're with. Don't do that. Don't pay attention. Don't do that. Now you say, well, why did they tell us don't stare at them, right? You know, I'm like, why? Because what they got on really has my attention. Who they're with? I'm interested because I didn't think that they would be eating dinner with these individuals. I am perplexed by what I see. And so here's the thing. I discovered that there are a couple of reasons why it's not nice to stare. First of all, it's not nice to stare because if you're not going to stare with the intention of acknowledging what you see, then it's rude to just look at something and not acknowledge it. Okay, let me see if I can make that clear. In essence, It does not make any sense for me to just stare at your face and I don't speak to you. Doesn't make any sense for me to just look at what you got on and don't acknowledge what you're wearing. It does not make any sense for me to just look at something and never acknowledge it. Okay, all right, let me see if I can help somebody. See, my brothers, my sisters, in essence, we in this country, we have a staring problem. Why do we have a staring problem? Because we like to just look at stuff but don't do anything about it. Okay, let me see if I can make this clear. In essence, we love to stare at things, but we don't have any action to do anything about it. What do you mean, Reverend? Is that, my brothers and my sisters, we can stare at watching our brothers and sisters being murdered right in front of our faces, and we do absolutely nothing about it. We just say, I'm going to pray about it. We can stare at poverty in our faces and do absolutely nothing about it. We can stare at racial inequality when it comes to income distribution in this country, and we do nothing about it. We stare every single day at the fact that this nation is led by a nincompoop, and we do absolutely nothing. We don't even try and register to vote. We don't try and teach our people. My brothers and my sisters, we have a staring problem. We stare and don't do anything about it. But I'm here today to let somebody know that if you stare at something long enough, you have a responsibility to acknowledge what you see. We have a responsibility as the black church to finally recognize that healthcare in this country is on the bottom end for our people. We have a responsibility to realize that there's a technological disadvantage for people who live on the margins. It makes no sense in this country that we have young people who can't even have access to the internet because they don't have bandwidth that runs through their neighborhood. That is something we have to address. Mm-hmm. Not only is it rude to stare and never to acknowledge something, but also staring at something or someone when you're engaged in a conversation with someone else is rude, because you take the focus off of the people who you're there with and put it on something else. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, it's amazing how we lose focus as a community. It's amazing how we lose focus on what is important. That in the 60s and the 70s, we had a focus on trying to end racial discrimination on the workplace and in restaurants and things of that nature. And we were on the way of being able to address income inequality. And that's when Dr. King had the Poor People's Campaign in 68 and 69, that the Poor People's Campaign, the issue was trying to address one of the last great triumvirate evils that Dr. King talked about, which is dealing with wealth distribution and income inequality in this country. It's amazing how we have been able now to have our focus turn from the issues that are plaguing our community to now they want you to just focus now on black crime. Don't worry about the police killing you. Don't worry about police brutality. Don't even worry about the fact that you know that your voting rights are about to be snatched away. Hello, somebody. But we need to focus on black crime. Focus on dealing with just that. That's your focus. Matter of fact, your focus now is just to get your kids in the best school possible. That's your focus. And my brothers and my sisters, we have taken our eye off the ball. Now the Lord is trying to tell us you have to be able to get back focused on what you're looking at. Stop staring at stuff around you. Stop being distracted by things that are calling your attention. Pay attention to what's in front of you. Now, it's amazing what staring does. I'm just going to harp on staring a little bit there. It's amazing how in these yet to be United States that people understand that 75% of what we take in as human beings comes through our sight. 75% of your information you receive comes through your sight. That's amazing. That's 3/4 of the things that you learn comes through your sight. It's amazing. And don't think that people don't understand the power of having things appear in your eyes. That when you have sights that are meant to control you, they're meant to keep you locked up, Now, what do you mean, Reverend? Is that I'm trying to let you all know, my brothers and my sisters, that we have a problem in this nation, is that we just like to stare at things, and the enemy knows that we can get distracted by what is put in front of our faces. Why do you know that? That's the very reason why, my brothers and my sisters, why lynching was such an effective tool and still can be used as an effective tool for our people. That's the reason why once a month and every once, maybe once or twice a month or once every quarter, that in Nashville, Tennessee, there's this bridge called the Jefferson Street Bridge, and once a month or once every 3 months, the people would ride over across the bridge, which separates the white from the black, and they will march over into that town, go find a black man, throw him across the bridge, lynch him in order to keep the black folks in check. In order to stop you from going to go vote, in order to stop you from going to go protest your rights, in order for your economic base to increase, what did they do? Is that they put a sight in front of you to keep you from doing what you were supposed to be doing. And oh, my brothers and my sisters, I'm sorry to say that they're doing the same exact thing, is that it's meant to scare you, but I'm here today to let you know that we've got to learn how to overcome what we see, and the best way we overcome what we see is by what we hear. Why? Because the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we've got to use what we hear to overcome what we see.
Yes, sir.
I see stupidity, but I listen to the word of God. I see ignorance, but I listen to what God's word says. That God says, above all, in all thy getting, get thee an understanding. And we got too many people who don't have an understanding.
Understand.
All right. So, the disciples, much like us, they're staring at this sight. And literally, Mr. Fonda, what they're looking and what they're watching is that they're watching the ministry of Jesus in its completion. Mm-hmm. And they're watching and staring at a ministry or an epoch in time, piece of time, a time, part of time. And what Jesus does is that Jesus goes from being in time to out of time. No, I mean, okay, let me see if I can help somebody. Yeah. See, everybody always asks me how old God is, right? God is not aged because God exists outside of time. God created time, so there has never been a time when there has never been God.
God is.
So therefore, just to answer your question for those who are asking, God is not even considered an age, that God is ageless. God is infinite. God determines when the beginning will be and the end will be. God is Alpha and Omega. God is the beginning of all and the end of all. So therefore, God has no age like me and you. Because here it is, when we came from God and God put us into our mother's womb and we start traveling down the birth canal, we became now part of end time. So therefore, that's the reason why every once a year you have a birthday. The birthday is to celebrate your time and to be able to celebrate you being a part of time. But there's going to be a time when we lay you out before the people and we have a whole lot of flower bringing and slow singing. And what eventually happens is that you leave from time to go to eternity.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so. So, he is Jesus. He's in time, but goes out of time. Okay, all right, so. What I realized, Mr. Funk, is that, watch this, is that I realized that there are people who are having problems and difficulty adjusting to ministry during this time because they want to go back to doing ministry how it was before this time. Okay, all right, so what are you trying to say, Reverend? Is that we got preachers and pastors who are having a problem with how times are changing and don't want to adjust to how times are changing. And what eventually is going to happen is that if we don't adjust, you will cease to become relevant.
Yes, sir. Yes,
okay.
Sir. Yes.
All right. So preachers want to get in a building so bad because that's how we've always been taught. We've never known a time without a building. But yet, during the time of Jesus, there was no building. Buildings did not pop up until the 3rd century when an emperor by the name of Constantine decided to go ahead Roman state. So therefore, he had to find a way to house it so he can control it.
Teach. Yes, sir.
Y'all not in here. See, Constantine's job was to control Christianity. And the way he can control it is if you get it in the building, then I can make sure that I can oversee what's happening. You see, before Constantine came around, people were having church in caves, they were having church underground, they were having church in cellars, and the reason why is because they were realizing that God was in charge, not the emperor. And yet here we got an emperor who want to tell us when to go back to church.
Yes, sir.
I'm here today to let you know, my brothers and my sisters, that the times are changing. We got to stop looking at what church used to be and start adjusting to what church is now. I don't know about you, but guess this, I'm not trying to insult anybody, but I got more folk who watch me on Sunday on Facebook than I do on Sunday when we got a building full.
My Lord. Oh,
and if you preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, you got the same kind of thing going on. Stop looking at what used to be, but start looking at what could be. Start looking at what God wants to do before us. You keep saying you want to go back to how things used to be, but Jesus says, greater works will you than what I have done, which means Jesus even realized that stuff is going to change, and as it changes, you can do greater with the change. So, here we have a stare at a ministry that has left time. And here they are in time. My problem, too, with them is that they always look upward. We as people of God, that's our problem, too. We always look up whenever times get tough, because that's what we were taught. You pray. You ask God. You look up. But the problem that I have is that we can be so upwardly focused that we miss the blessings of God right here in our midst. Okay, let me start to make this clear. We always want to look up, but we never look without. Okay, all right. My brothers and my sisters, during this time of the pandemic, if nothing else has been shown, is that we realize that the Lord has already provided what we need when we need it right here with us. Because that's the beautiful thing about God, is that the Lord says, yes, you can talk to me, but I answer right here. Y'all missed that. You see, God said, talk to me, but I'm going to answer right here. Y'all missed it. Let me see if I can make it clear. Talk to me upward, and I answer you outward. Let me see if I can make this clear. You need a blessing, and I'm going to provide it with Sister Smith. Going to come and give you $100 to help you keep your lights on. Let me see if I can help you real quick. You asked me to heal your body, and you asked me to help you, but God has already provided you with the treatment that you need right there in the care facility. Let me see if I can help somebody else. You asked God to help remove me from this headache, and God sends that Negro out the door. Y'all ain't hearing me in here. Is that every time we look up, we need to look without. Why? Because y'all missed my direction. Maybe y'all didn't take geometry like I did. Is that when you look up, hello somebody, God answers without. Y'all missed that. God says, I answer up, but I also answer without. What are you trying to say? Is that Jesus, God is trying to show you that the answer is found in the direction of a cross. That the cross goes up and down, and it goes from side to side. Which means I've already answered your problem. So, they're having a problem because all they know how to do is look up. They don't know how to look from without. So, thank God that the Lord has a way of sending messengers and sending people. NIV says it was men in white. Usually men who come in white are always considered angelic. And oh, I'm so glad on today that the Lord knows how to send an angel at the right time. There ought to be somebody out there who ought to thank God for God's angels, that God knows how to send messengers, that God knows how to send people that will bring you a word, knows how to send people that will get you over your bed of affliction, that will get you over your bed of anxiety, that will get you over your bed of self-doubt, and will get you moving. Thank God for the angels in my life. Is there anybody out there who can thank God that the Lord knows how to dispatch angels to you, how to dispatch angels to your problem, how knows how to dispatch angels to your situation? You ought to thank God that the Lord has already provided you with angels.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, here the angels go. And the angels come with a prophetic word. Why are you looking up? It's not nice to stare, because you're just standing, but you're missing it. You're missing the fact that the Lord has work for you to do. And I thank God for the angels that have spoken into my life, that have told me it's time to get busy. It's time to move. It's time to move forward with your life. Don't stay in one spot. Don't get stuck looking back. Don't get stuck looking up. You've got to press on anyhow. Here they are. And the thing I love it, watch this, Mr. Fondren, is that last night we had a Bible study with my friend. Y'all know Reverend Dowdy, Reverend Harry Dowdy the second. Amen. We thank God for his soul food Bible study. Amen. He does those on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. I encourage everybody to tune in. We had a great Bible study. We were discussing the ascension. And Pastor Evan Collins and I, pastor of Eastern Star, we both preaching on ascension today. And we took two different texts, right? And he took the Luke text and I took the Acts text. And I said, it's interesting to me because it does not seem like they get closure, because they got to take care of some other business later on in the scripture. And Reverend Dowdy and Evan, they were both on the side to say, no, they do get closure, because Jesus closes the matter of the resurrection and his reality. And I'm like, okay, all right, you know what? I never saw that, so I get you. In Luke, he closes the resurrection, that it's finality. It's understood that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the resurrected one. But when we get to Acts, there's other business that is not closed, that when they leave this mountain, when they leave Jesus' sight, they got to go deal with some other matters that need to be addressed. Watch this. It's like Michael said in The Godfather, after his father died, that he was going to settle all family business, right? That when his dad died, he said that there's some unfinished business I need to take care of. And we know that famous scene, he's there baptizing his godson, and he takes care of all of his enemies. And so just the same situation here is that the disciples, yeah, they got closure that Jesus is gone, he's resurrected, but they need to take care of some unfinished business. What is the unfinished business? Who's going to take Judas's place? My brothers and my sisters, we've got to stop staring and looking up, because we've got business to attend to. We've got communities that have been desolated. We used to have fledgling, we used to have bustling communities, beautiful black communities that had black grocers, black banks, black barbershops, black doctors, black dentists. We used to have black everything, black merchants, and the communities used to be great, but now we look around and they're all gone. We used to have plenty of black entrepreneurs. Our schools are gone. If we're not careful, our colleges will be gone. We've got business to attend to. Jesus is gone, but he didn't leave us without any business to attend to. And I thank God for one by the name of Elijah Muhammad. Yeah, you may not agree with everything the Nation of Islam said, but in the letters to the black man, he put it strong to us to let us know that we've got to make sure we've got to take care of our own. I got a question. With your stimulus money, have you spent it with black businesses? How much of your stimulus money have you put back into your own community? Have you invested in Citizens Bank or Tri-State Bank? Hello, somebody. Has all your money gone to Amazon and then go to Sister Shaniqua, who's selling the same t-shirt for less money? Hello, somebody. Oh my God, we got business to attend to. We can't get caught staring and watching when the Lord says, you've got business to tie up. You've got loose ends to deal with. We've got children who go without food in this country and go without food in this city. We've got business to attend to. And so, my brothers and my sisters, it's not nice to stay. But Mr. Fonda and I can understand why they stay. Because Jesus was gone. And oh, my brothers and my sisters, oh, it means something when the Lord leaves you. And the Lord has been your source of food, shelter, and clothes. When the Lord has given you free health care and the Lord has ministered to your family, it means something when the Lord, it feels like the Lord has left you. But I'm here today to give somebody some good news, is to let you know that, yeah, it feels like he may have left you. But the good news is that he has never left you nor forsaken you. That, yeah, he may not be here physically with you, but somebody know that he is still alive and still is here with you. Why do you know that? It's because somebody can testify on this morning that he woke me up and started me on my way. That he clothed me in my right mind. That it was him who kept me from cussing you out when your show needed to be cussed from Sunday to Sunday. That it was nobody but the Lord who kept me when I thought that I was sick and thought that I couldn't get well. That it was nobody but the Lord. That's good news for somebody in here. That's good news for somebody out there. Is that, yeah, you got caught staring. But I'm here today to let you know that the Lord has been with you the whole time. I'm glad this morning because Jesus, when he left them, there's still some good news in the text. Because what happens when he leaves is that when he goes away, he in essence, Minister Fontrin, watch what Jesus does. Is that in essence, he makes them to be the ones to carry on his ministry. I'm glad, y'all, because Jesus left, but he left us in charge. Jesus left, but he left us to be the ones to carry on. And I'm here today to let somebody know, stop looking up all the time. Yes, he's gone. He's gone away. He caught a cloud, went back to the Father. But guess what? We've got work to do. And I don't know about you. I know that I got work to do. Because I, just like them old folk used to say, I don't want to be caught with my work undone. Is there anybody out there who feels like me? That, yeah, he's gone. But we got work to do. We got communities. We got to save. We got the lost. We got to pull them back in. We got the unsaved that need to know that there is a Jesus and he still saves. There are children who need to be fed. There are people who are sick who need some healing. There are people who never heard the name Jesus because there's power in the name Jesus. There's healing in the name Jesus. And my brothers and my sisters, we got work to do. Stop staring and get to working. But I'm so glad that the angels gave us a good word. And the good word is that, yeah, he's gone. But watch this. He's coming back. Anybody glad that, yeah, he's gone, but he's coming back again? If you're not tuning, you ought to lift your hands and thank God that, yeah, he's gone, but he's coming back. Anybody want to see him? Anybody want to see him? I'm just like the song. Oh, I want to see Jesus just to look upon his face. There to be forever. Anybody like me, you want to see him, the man who died for you, the man who got up early Sunday morning with all power. Help me say all power. Stop Because you don't want to be taught. Get your house in order. Say yeah.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.